All right, so are you ready to dive into a psychological thriller with me today?
Always up for a good thriller, especially one that promises to keep me guessing.
Yeah, and this one, I think this one delivers. It's called Son of Ashes by Aaron Boyle. And, well, it's set in a small Australian town, very atmospheric. Do you like those kinds of settings?
I think they can be so effective, when you've got that sense of isolation and secrets. Small towns, everybody knows everybody's business, right?
Oh, absolutely. Those small town settings can be so claustrophobic, like you can practically feel the walls closing in on the characters. Perfect for a thriller.
Exactly. And that's Hopetown, where this book takes place. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I always get this feeling that something's lurking beneath the surface in these kinds of towns, like something bad is about to happen.
Oh, I totally get that. It's like a simmering tension, a sense that things are just a little bit off kilter. You're just waiting for that first domino to fall. And in Son of Ashes, that domino falls right away. Boyle doesn't waste any time. The book opens with a prologue set in September 1996 with a mysterious figure walking into a church. And they confess to the reverend. They confess to him making a child disappear.
Chilling right from the start, something is deeply wrong in this town. And that confession, it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Right. And the reverend, poor guy. I mean, he's torn, right? Because he's bound by that vow of confidentiality, but he also knows what he knows. What would you do in that situation?
I mean, it's such a moral dilemma. I honestly don't know. But that's what makes this book so compelling, right?
Yeah.
It forces you to think about those tough questions, those gray areas where there are no easy
Yeah,
answers.
you're right. And then Boyle fast forwards us to the present day,
Ooh.
September 2015, and another child vanishes, this time a 10-year-old girl named Data Hughes. And it happens near Lake Coorong. This lake, though, it's not your typical idyllic lake setting.
Nope, it's described as this dried up, almost skeletal place. A bit creepy, if you ask me.
It's more than creepy, I'd say. It's like this unsettling presence that looms over the whole story. And to make things even creepier, near where Ada disappears, they find a doll. But it's not just any doll. It's like, well, it's like a voodoo doll.
Oh, that's just straight up creepy. The imagery that Boyle uses, it's so vivid. It just gets under your
It
skin.
does. And then there's the boy who was with Ada when she vanished, Ben Plummer. He comes home covered in mud but refuses to speak. I mean, talk about a red flag, right? What did he see?
Right. But he's just a kid, clearly traumatized. And it makes you wonder how reliable is his memory? Childhood trauma, it can do a number on your perception of
It
events.
makes you think about how much we can trust our own memories,
Right.
especially from childhood.
Absolutely. Memory is a tricky thing. It can be so easily distorted, especially by trauma. And that's something that Boyle really explores in this book.
He does. And to really understand what's happening in the present, we have to go back to 1996, to that other tragedy that shook this town. Remember, I mentioned a girl was found dead by the lake. Her name was Charlene Pegg, and her brother Joshua witnessed the whole thing, but the trauma left him unable to speak.
And guess who was a suspect in that case? Jim Plummer, Ben's father. He was acquitted back then, but now, with Ada missing, those old wounds are reopening.
It's like the town's past is coming back to haunt it, right?
Yeah.
All these unresolved issues and secrets bubbling up to the surface. And the detective investigating Ada's disappearance, Detective Bennett, she starts to see the connections.
And the deeper she digs, the more she realizes that things are not what they seem in Hopetown. There's this web of relationships, of hidden resentments, and long-held secrets. It's like everyone's got something to hide.
I'm already feeling a little paranoid just thinking about it.
Me too. And just wait until you meet Margaret Pegg, Charlene's aunt. She's this devoutly religious woman, very judgmental. And the way she's described, she's kind of terrifying, to be honest. She seems to hold this strange power over the town. Like she knows everyone's secrets.
Okay, this is getting really good. So we've got a town full of secrets, a detective who's getting too close to the truth, and a past that refuses to stay buried. What happens next? I'm hooked.
Well, let's just say things get even more intense. There's a kidnapping, there are fires, and a dramatic confrontation at the town's memorial hall. Boyle really knows how to ratchet up the tension.
Kidnapping, fires. Wait, you can't just drop those bombshells and not elaborate?
I don't want to spoil too much, but believe me, the second half of this book is a wild ride. Just when you think you figured things out, Boyle throws another twist your way.
Okay, you've definitely piqued my curiosity. I need to know what happens next. But I guess we'll have to save that for the next part of our deep dive.
Agreed. Let's take a break and then we'll come back and really dissect some of the characters and themes that make Son of Ashes so unforgettable.
Sounds good to me. We'll be right back.
I can't wait. You know what really gets me about this book? The atmosphere. It's so thick with secrets and unease.
Yeah, it's like Hope Tan itself is a character.
Yeah, exactly. You can't escape it. Like, even the church feels, well, oppressive, almost like it's holding its breath.
And that description of the Peg's old house, God, it's practically falling apart, crumbling under the weight of all that history.
It's like the town itself is a reflection of what's going on inside the people, you know? Broken, scarred.
Which brings us to Ben Plummer, right? He sees Ada disappear. He's clearly traumatized. But then his dad becomes a suspect. That's a lot for a kid to handle.
It is, and Boyle doesn't shy away from it. Ben's silence, it's like a scream, you know? This kid who can't put words to what he's seen, what he might know.
And it makes you think, how do you even process that kind of trauma at that age?
Exactly. I mean, how much can any of us truly understand what's going on in a child's mind, especially after something like that? And the impact of that trauma, it's not just Ben, it ripples out to his family, the whole community.
Like, it's contagious, almost.
Mm.
Jim Plummer, Christopher, even Detective Bennett, they're all carrying some kind of baggage.
Trauma doesn't just disappear, right? It stays with you, it festers, it can poison everything.
God, that's bleak. But I guess it makes for a good story. So, okay, we've got the setting, we've got these characters who are practically drowning in their pasts. But what about the mystery itself? What are we trying to figure out here?
Well, the obvious one is what happened to Ada? But is it connected to Charlene Pegg's death back in 96? And if so, how? Then there's Jim Plummer. Is he really involved? What's his motive? So many questions.
It's like one of those puzzle boxes, you know? You think you're getting closer to opening it, and then bam, another layer.
And just when you think you have a grasp on who to trust, who's telling the truth, Boyle throws you a curveball.
It's like he's daring you to figure it out, making you the detective. But okay, unreliable narrators. That's got to be tricky. How do you even know where to start?
You don't. That's the point. Boyle wants you to question everything you read. Is this character being straight with us? Are they hiding something? Maybe even from themselves.
Sounds exhausting, but in a good way,
yeah.
You know, like a mental workout.
Totally. And the payoff, let me tell you, it's worth it. Boyle sticks the landing. The ending is both shocking and satisfying.
All right, now I really need to read this, but before we move on, let's circle back to the setting for a second. Hope Town as a character, what exactly makes it so unsettling?
Oh man, where do I even begin? Physically, it's like the town is decaying. That drought, the lake, the buildings, it's a visual metaphor for all the rot underneath, you know?
Yeah.
The lies and secrets.
Right, right. And then there's that social side of things.
Yeah.
The judgment, the gossip, the feeling that someone's always watching you.
It's classic small town stuff, but Boyle takes it to another level. It's suffocating, like the town itself is closing in on everyone. And that feeling, it seeps into everything. It's in the air the characters breathe, the way they talk to each other.
God, it's like you can practically smell it, that sense of decay.
Exactly. Boyle, he knows how to get under your skin.
Okay, so we've got a gripping mystery, these messed up and fascinating characters, and a setting that's basically straight out of a nightmare. What more could you want from a thriller?
It's true. It's a book that stays with you. It's unsettling, yeah, but it's also smart. It makes you think.
I like that. A book that makes you think, you know, not just scares you. And I have a feeling this one's going to stick with me for a while.
Me too. It's one of those books that makes you question everything, even yourself.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground with Son of Ashes, the setting, the characters, that feeling of impending doom that just hangs over everything.
It's like a storm cloud you can't outrun.
Exactly. But, you know, there's one thing we haven't really touched on yet, and I think it's kind of central to the whole story. Faith.
Religion.
Yes. It's always there, lurking in the background, shaping people's choices.
Right. Like with Reverend Collingwood. That confession he hears, it completely throws him. His faith, it tells him one thing, but his conscience is screaming something else.
And what I find so interesting is that Boyle doesn't offer any easy answers.
Yeah.
He's not saying faith is good or bad. It's just IS. It's a force.
Yeah.
Powerful, but it can be misused.
Twisted, even. Like, take Margaret Pegg. She's so devout, but there's also this sense that she's using religion as a weapon.
To judge others. To control them.
And it ties back into that theme of guilt, right? A lot of these characters are looking for redemption, but they're not sure how to find it. Like, can faith offer that kind of solace when you've done something terrible?
It's one of the big questions the book asks, I think. Where do we find forgiveness?
Yeah.
From ourselves, from a higher power?
Yeah.
Or are some things just unforgivable? Man, heavy stuff. But also so compelling.
Yeah.
Okay, before we wrap up, I have to ask. The ending. Can you give us a little taste without spoiling it for those who haven't read it?
Well, what can I say? Boyle delivers. He doesn't shy away from the consequences. There's a reckoning, for sure. But whether it brings peace, well, that's for the reader to decide.
Ooh, cryptic. So for someone picking up Son of Ashes for the first time, what advice would you give them? What should they be paying attention to?
Pay attention to the details. Boyle is a master of foreshadowing. Those little things that seem insignificant, they come back later in ways you'd never expect.
Right, like Chekhov's gun, but with creepy small-town details. Love it.
And be ready to be surprised. Don't assume you know who to trust or how it's going to end. Boyle keeps you guessing until that very last page.
That's what makes a good thriller.
Smart,
right?
Yeah.
Keeping you off balance. And I think that's what sets Son of Ashes apart. It's more than just a whodunit. It's a story about human nature, the darkness that we all carry inside.
It's a reminder that even in the quietest corners of the world, evil can find a foothold. And sometimes the most terrifying monsters are the ones we create ourselves.
Well said. And on that note, folks, we're going to wrap up our deep dive into Son of Ashes. If you're looking for a thriller that will stay with you long after you turn the last page, this is it. Trust us.
And if you do give it a read, come back and let us know what you think. We always love to hear from our listeners.
Absolutely. Until next time, happy reading, everyone. And remember, sometimes the most unsettling mysteries are the ones that hit closest to home.